the little recorder? Oh, this is weird. Hi, I'm Vicki. I'm an alcoholic. I always feel so privileged when somebody asks me to share at a meeting, because I can always remember times where I felt so alone and like nobody cared in the world and nobody would want to hear anything I had to say, and it's amazing to come into AA and, you know, have a place where you can share and talk, and people really listen, you know. It's an amazing feeling, that exchange back and forth. I'm supposed to, as the big book would quote it, tell you in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now for me. For anyone who's new to the program at all, I'm not a speaker of AA. I'm just another recovering alcoholic in these rooms that has my own story, like all of you have yours. To qualify, I've heard only that term in here, to qualify as an alcoholic, I'll tell you a story that I was just mentioning at supper. I had the opportunity of going out with the members here. They take out their speakers sometimes, so which was really nice. But we went for supper, and I was talking about a certain event, saying, I guess that qualifies me as an alcoholic. And that event being that right now I'm living in Chattagee, and I go through I think it's called the Whiskey Trenches, where they're brewing, you know, their whiskey, and there's always an odor in the air. And I said, you know, hard to admit this, but true. I go through there, and I can smell it, and it's like Pavlov's theory. You know, it's like I can smell it, and immediately I have extra saliva going on in my mouth. It's crazy. You know, it's like, no, I don't have a problem with alcohol. No, of course not. It just amazes me that, you know, it still has that effect on me today. And that being said, it doesn't matter how much time you have since your last drink, you know. It's an amazing journey. I'll start by saying that by the grace of God, just, you know, aside from me, many times, I've been sober since September 13th, 1992, which is mind-blowing for me. And I've done that, I think, one day at a time, an accumulation of days, by coming here solely, by coming here and practicing and doing to the best of my ability all that's been shared and given to me in AA. Prior to coming here, I can sum it up in telling you that I was a very, very lost soul, feeling like this little girl in the big, bad world of wolves. And just feeling full of fear. Fear, lack of confidence, no hope, no direction. So what did I do? I drank. It was the only thing that would get me through day after day. I started drinking when I was 12. I can't really remember the first drink, per se, of how the night went, except I think I ended up on the bathroom floor for a while at the end of the evening, but that didn't change anything. I remember what drinking and smoking and all that did for me the moment I started was, wow, I felt some relief. I felt some comfort. I felt some kind of belonging. And, of course, feeling scared and all those things I said before, since I found that, why would I want to give that up? So I stuck with it. And all through high school was a reason to party. I didn't go to school to learn. I didn't go to school for any other reason but, hey, I get to meet my friends. I get to skip some classes. I get to go across the school and smoke dope and drink, and that was my life, you know. And little did I know what kind of repercussions that would have later on in my life, because, you know, at that age, I didn't care. I lived in the moment, oddly enough. The one thing we're taught here is to live in the moment, live in the day, which seems so difficult. But yet, when I was drinking, you know, there was no problem living in the moment. I didn't want the moment to end. I didn't think of tomorrow. I didn't think of the consequences. I didn't think, period. So it's amazing that it's such a practice now to live in the moment. Anyway, so I did that. My whole high school was drinking. Oddly enough, I kept passing year after year. I have no idea how. Till finally, I decided that I needed to go into the big world and give up a school. So I quit school in grade 10, and I went into the big world and, you know, worked in a butcher shop. my first job, and we're still partying and whatever. That worked for a while. Oddly enough, there was always this little flicker of light that I described in myself, despite everything going on in my life, lost and all that. You know, like the little pilot light that's on a gas stove, like that's the kind of flicker I had there. I didn't know quite what it was. I guess it was a flicker of hope, a flicker of God, a flicker of there's got to be another way. Anyway, for some reason, I decided, okay, I thought for a second about the future. And I thought, well, this is going to screw me up down the road, so maybe I should find a way to get my diploma. So I went back to high school at 19, an alternative school, and kind of shoved everything in a year and got my high school diploma. But that was it. But that was a big accomplishment. You know, I'm pretty amazed that that happened, that I actually went back. With the mindset that I had. Did that, and then the next few years was all about drinking in the bars. See, I was, I don't know if any of you saw the movie Barfly, but boy, did that hit home. When I saw people, it's an old movie, you know, and I just, living in the bars. I mean, I loved the bars. I loved everything about alcohol. I loved all the different glasses that came in. I even used to pick certain cigarettes to go with certain drinks. It was ridiculous. I was in, like, movie land. Everything in, you know, at this point in my life, like 20, 19, 20, 21, everything was a movie set to me. You know, I lived so out of reality because I had no idea what reality was, and anything, any inkling about reality scared the daylights out of me, so I didn't want to know anything about it. And I created whatever I felt like creating in my brain, you know. Meet a guy in a bar, and I said, what do you do? And I write poetry. Oh, he was the poet with all that mist around him, you know. I just made up all these, like, drama. Drama queen, you know, just drama. And I lived like that. For a while, you know, I'd even, like, people would say, what's your name? And I'd say, oh, Christine, and I'd make up things, and, you know, I have some really good memories that I don't ever want to forget. One, during drinking, I mean, that helps keep me sober today. One being dressing all up, and I loved the 5 to 7 happy hours in the bars. I was living out in the West Island then, which I detested and had a resentment towards because I didn't fit in, because everyone had, you know, a mother, a father, 2 cars, a dog, played football or were a cheerleader, and I walked around in leather and carried knives and it just didn't fit, you know. The one image I remember is dressing up, going to the happy hour, 5 to 7, because that's where I'd eat my supper, you know, a couple of bites here and there just to put a little bit of a foundation, you know, so I didn't get too sick or anything. So I could drink. And I'd be all dressed up, and someone would say, oh, you know, you just coming back from work? Yeah, and I'd make up this whole story about how I'm coming back from work because I'm all dressed up, but that was such a lie. I wasn't coming back from work. I had just got up 2 hours prior, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon from the night before, you know, and got all dressed up for that night. And I can remember, you know, how every time I'd get prepared to go out to the bar. It was going to be the event of my life. Something was going to happen that night that was just going to make life all worth living. And I would go out with this, you know, I'd take 2 hours to get ready and the hair and the high heels and the lipstick and the whole bit, you know, go out and I don't know what I expected to meet, you know, a knight in shiny armor in a bar or a I don't know, something interesting was going to happen and my whole life was going to change, just like that. And of course, You know, 3 a.m. would roll around. And I'd remember that 3 a.m., where 3 a.m., this time I'm not passed out throwing up or asleep by then. And 3 a.m. would roll around and it would be like, nothing happened. Nothing happened tonight and I'm stuck with me and I gotta go home and sleep and know that I'm gonna have a hangover the next day. Have to keep the shades down even though it's like summer out and everyone, I could hear everyone in the pool. You know, and have the shades down and be having panic attacks because I drank too much. You know, or happen to do cocaine or something. And, you know, just feeling out of the norm. There's a Sheryl Crow song. I forget the name of it, but there's a line in it where she's, all I want to do is have some fun. That's the song. And there's a line where she's sitting in a bar across the street watching all the good people in washing their cars in the car wash, and she's sitting there with some guy named Billy peeling the labels off his Budweiser. That I could so relate to. Was like, I felt so out of sync with how the world was operating, and I just felt so isolated and so different. And there's a part of me that really wanted to live like that, but had no friggin' clue. I had no idea. I asked, how do you do that? There was something different about me, I felt. So all that to say, there were various things I tried. There was one time where I quit drinking on my own, moved to Florida, lived there for 4 months, stopped drinking, stopped smoking cigarettes, did the old, you know, it's mentioned in the big book. It's so funny when I started reading everything in the big book, just seeing myself in all these things, I thought, wow, how do they know that, you know? One being like, it talks about, I think it's in More About Alcoholism, I'm not sure, all the different ways we try to kind of control our drinking. And one of them being, you know, like getting into the health thing, you know. So that's what I did. I moved down to Florida, the geographical cure people mention here too. Just move somewhere else. Everything's going to be different. I'm going to start from a clean slate. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to jog on the beach. There I am jogging on the beach, you know, not drinking, not smoking cigarettes, you know, till it finally broke, you know, till something in my life down there didn't suit me and caused some pain. So what did I do? I went back to what I know best, that comfort, you know, which was in a bottle, which was in a cigarette. It was just round and round we go. You know, it just got to that place where round and round we go, the same story, the same thing, and I was getting more and more hopeless is the way to describe it. Just couldn't take it anymore. It was getting predictable. You know, go out to a bar, drink, not feel well. What am I going to get up the next day full of remorse? What am I going to do with my life? Who am I? I'm worth nothing. And then that whole thing would just go round and round. So I'd have to drink to get rid of those feelings. And then the cycle started again. I can say that now. I didn't see that then. I was just in it. So this is where I believe in grace. But for the grace of God go I, so they say. And that's where I believe in grace. I'll bring you up to the last drink. Last drink being... in 92, where I remember I had a vacation time and I didn't want to spend my vacation drinking. And the first day of my vacation, it's as if the sidewalk was a rolling sidewalk and was taking me exactly for a drink, even though I didn't want to go there, even though I wanted my vacation to be different. I wanted to be sober. I wanted to do all these different things. I wanted to, you know, go to some art exhibits. I wanted to do all these things that were in me that drinking always got in the way. And I was powerless, you know, the first step, totally powerless. It's like, there I went to my half-sister's place where I knew there'd be booze because, you see, she was the alcoholic, I wasn't, in my mind. She was the barometer for alcoholism. She was the one that had a problem because she lost her job. She was living in her house, not leaving her kitchen. Kitchen was yellow walls from all the cigarettes she smoked. She drank every day and had alcoholic seizures. Now, she's an alcoholic. I don't have a problem. No, of course not. I just went there and drank her alcohol with her. Anyway, there I was. Got drunk first day of my vacation. At this point, that's it. All the tricks in the hat, everything I can come up with to try and get through another day, I was caught between life and death. Afraid to live, afraid to die. That is a really awful place to be. I still remember it. You know, in between the two, and what do? I have no tools, no idea, just me caught in between. And it was starting to lean more and more towards the death thing, because I just couldn't handle anymore every morning pulling up my socks. See, I was what was called a functional alcoholic on the outside. I had a great career going. I started a career when I moved back to Montreal. It was starting to move along. I paid my bills. I had my little apartment. Everything on the outside looked fine. But on the inside, I was just a mess. Everything was pretend. Everything was like a character. Like I said, I just created these characters for myself to kind of move along. And I would just copy people because I had no idea how to be human even. So at this point, I'm in my little 1.5, which I did often. I was, at that point, I was 25 and I was already drinking alone in my apartment. That's what I did. I was bitter. I hated the world. I hated myself. And I just wanted to get home to my little apartment to drink by myself. That's where I was at. And this is where the grace comes in. So one night I decided, that's it. I want to kill myself. So I make a few phone calls and everyone's too busy. Everyone's too busy to come and help me, you know. I hang up the phone and I felt the epitome of oneness and aloneness. And today I can say that that was necessary for me. I believe, I do this little survey in AA since I've been around. I listen to speakers and I hear the speakers that, you know, that are happy today and have maintained sobriety. And I always listen and ask, and you know what? Every single one of them always says one thing. It always came to a point where they were brought to their knees, almost like abandoned, naked, alone, surrender to something bigger than themselves. And that is the grace that I'm talking about. That's where I got. I couldn't do it anymore. I had no hope. And I got to that place where I saw no human power, felt it that night. No human power could relieve my alcoholism, like it says in the preamble. And it was just me. Me and God, who I didn't believe in at this point. Who I was trying to believe in, because someone had come across my path who was a Christian and was trying to tell me, listen, just pray for faith. If you don't have it, pray for it. You know, here we say fake it till you make it. So I was doing that for about a week, which is interesting. And then everything just unraveled. Everything just happened. Bang, bang, bang. I was at my half-sister's, and somebody came in. It was actually the ex-beer delivery guy. Amazing how what forms messengers can come in. The ex-beer delivery guy who had come to my half-sister's, and what I realized later on when I got into AA was he was trying to do a 12-step. He had just came out of rehab, and like a lot of us when we're new, we want to go and save everybody we know that needs the program. But the difference is the program is not here for people who need it. It's for people who want it, you know. And he was there trying to grab everybody and go, hey, you got to come to this program. And I happened to be there, and I happened to be right for the picking, you know. And he brought me to my first meeting. And again, you know, messengers come in all forms. He's no longer here. He wasn't in AA for very long. He went back out. But look at how important it is for us to always reach out to that other alcoholic or help that other alcoholic no matter what. I'm still here because somebody brought, this person, this messenger brought AA to me and brought me to a meeting. That's remarkable. So I started all my meetings. I had no idea, no clue. Everything was like Chinese to me. I mean, I could understand academically, but understand, you know, all the words and read and the steps and the promises, but it was like Chinese. It was like, what is this, you know? But I really didn't have anywhere else to go, actually. I had my apartment by myself, and at this point I didn't want to drink anymore. So what was I going to do? Sit in my apartment, you know, pulling my hair out, or go to a meeting and just kind of be there, just be there. And that's how it started. I just kept going to meetings and meeting people, and I met a lot of wonderful people who were really strong on the program, who were really strong on the steps, who were really strong on service. You know, get active. Have you joined a group yet? Just join one. You know, serve coffee, shake people's hands. I was petrified to even say, hi, my name's Vicky. I mean, I was so full of self, fear. Everything was about me, you know, in a negative way, not even in an egotistical way, but in a negative way. What would they think of me? Because I felt so different. And, you know, this AA is an amazing practice run for the world out there. And I need you guys so badly, because many times in my time of sobriety, I've strayed from AA thinking, you know what, I got some time now, I'm okay, I don't feel like drinking, done the steps, worked with others, done the service, went to jail, helped there, did the phone lines, you know, and I got to the point where, hey, I can sit back a little bit. They talk about resting on your laurels, you know, in the business. You can sit back for a while. You know, I've done my share, I've done my part. I've even had people in the normie world saying to me, yeah, you know, you've done a lot. You know, you got to think of yourself, you know. Thinking of myself, yeah, okay, there is a fine line. You know, if you're a caretaker, like I have been, I have to, yeah, think of myself and make sure that I'm not going overboard. However, thinking of myself too much is a very scary place to be. So I did that a couple of times and came very close. You know, they talk about this alcoholism being cunning, powerful. And it really is. I felt it many times and have come very close, even just recently. I'll mention that after. But, you know, this program has given me those tools, those things that I was saying I didn't have, feeling lost and not knowing any direction, it's given me all that. You know, it laid it out and numbered it even, you know. They say it's a simple program for complicated people like myself. It was difficult to grasp, but I kept trying. I remember running around in the beginning going, what's a higher power? What's your higher power? How did you get it? Just not knowing how to connect, you know, and then poof, it started happening. And to me, higher power, God, you know, we all have it. It's amazing how much I feel it whenever I'm in an AA meeting more than anything. It's the miraculous things I've seen in AA is unbelievable. Just people, the changes, you cannot make sense of how someone can go from, you know, the depths of despair to smiling and a whole new life. I mean, it's incredible. I'm a slow learner. I used to think I was really quick at everything, but when it came down to steps, looking at myself, I did about four steps. The fourth one, I was 5 years sober. It took me that long to really start understanding how to look at myself. I was petrified. I swear, when I came in here, I thought I didn't have any defects. I wanted to know what my defects were, but I couldn't see anything. I can remember a sponsor 10 hours with me going through my fourth step I did it as the big book lays it out, to the side where what does it affect and what's my part, and I was like, I don't know, every single one of them, I don't know, and I really truly didn't know, I was blocked, I had no idea. I also chose to do some outside therapy, which helped me, because, you know, again, we're all alcoholics, but it mentions in the big book, you know, we come from we could come from emotional problems and various things, and I chose to also, you know, get some therapy to understand some things, process some things, and it helped me a great deal. Bottom line, again, I keep mentioning this big book because I read it and I go to the source, because I went around for a long time just listening to people. And we're people, we're humans, we're fallible. We're gonna interpret things the way we interpret them. And we're going to pass them on the way we pass them on. And there's a beauty in that, and there's also maybe error in that sometimes. So I go to the source, and I did a big book study with someone. I used to drive down to East End to go through the book. I read a lot of it. I asked a lot of questions. And I like to refer to the source, you know, so that I can interpret it as well, trying to understand it to the best of my ability. And, you know, it says, when all else fails, work with a newcomer, and that's so true. I mean, I was just, you know, life happens whether you're drinking or not. You know, it just happens. And I used to think I had so much control over my life, that if I was going to go left and go in this direction, this would happen. And I actually had myself fooled, because a lot of times it would happen how I wanted it or how I thought I wanted it to be, and it would. So it fooled me. I thought, wow, you know, I'm in control of my life. Maybe I can't control drinking, but I'm in control of my life and making plans and going along till, wow, life happens. You know, and things are thrown at you left, right, center, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, I was blessed for many years in early recovery. I didn't have major things going on, you know, and life was good, and I was focusing on myself. And, you know, I have an illness that hit me three times now, in three attacks in 12 years. And, you know, this year has been the most incredibly difficult year of my entire life. But you know, I look at things now, and this is because of the program, because of people I've met in here, because of faith, because I'm on a mission now of personal growth, of trying to be the best spirit I can be. Because of that, I'm able to look at situations in my life and say, wow, what's the lesson? What am I learning right now? Maybe not while they're happening, but I take that attitude, you know, AA, another acronym for attitude adjuster, I heard someone mention, you know, there's so many amazing things people say here. And I needed an attitude adjustment, big time. And now I'm able to take that attitude, to look at things like, what am I learning from this? What growth am I getting from this? And my big, every year I feel like I have a theme that I'm supposed to learn something. This year's theme has been loss. Accepting loss, accepting it as part of life. And it's been a big one and a really difficult one, to the point where it almost drove me out to pick up a drink. And didn't even realize that I was like getting into the posture of picking up a drink. By in the midst of everything, instead of being around my support, I take off to Florida. And I find myself in a no-tell motel for about a week straight, with nobody around, except my cousin, who is very busy working, who is in recovery, thank God, and all her friends, and there was AA down there. And I'm in a no-tell motel for about a week, and I'm with myself, all by myself. I'm angry at God for all the losses, all the people I lost to death in my life this year. And I'm sitting in this motel, and I'm just getting all sorts of interesting thoughts. Till I realized, you know, I gotta book my flight 1 week earlier and come back, because this is not good. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't matter how much time, how much I've learned, how much whatever I've done in the time that I've been here. Life happens, and if I'm not close to you people, to my faith, I'm in big trouble. I'm back to being that little girl that I was talking about, who feels like she's in the world of wolves and has no clue what to do. I really am, just like that. It's just like everything becomes a blur, and I just can't reach out. And I know what I have to do in that time. I have to come back to the very simple basics, which is join a home group. I joined this one 2 weeks ago. This used to be my home group. There are people who know me here when I first walked in the doors, and that's very important. I have to get active. I have to get involved in other members of this fellowship, reach out, help, get out of myself. I have to strengthen my faith. I have to pray for that faith again because I got angry at everything that went on, you know. On top of all the loss, I also got whacked with my illness and was hospitalized for 37 days this summer, you know. And it was like, what's going on here? And had tremendous, it's ironic, had tremendous faith there, but then came out, felt better, like a really good alcoholic. Oh, I feel, you know, you ever think, I remember being hungover, and then, you know, I'd wait about 3 days. I could go 3 days without drinking or wait till the weekend, like Thursday or Friday. Let's say I'm hungover on a Sunday or Monday. Thursday or Friday I can make it to. And then, you know why? Because it took me that amount of time to start feeling better. And then I feel better and forget about everything else and then just pick up that drink. Well, it was the same thing. You know, I had all this faith. Please God, get me through this. I can't handle it. I'll do whatever. I'll help. I'll get back on track or whatever. And then I got out and my health came back and, you know, I got involved in all these things and my priorities got thrown out the window and, you know, because I was feeling better. So it's very hard for an alcoholic like me to be disciplined, to stay on a even keel. I'm very good at the up, down. I think it's a lifelong practice for me. And I'm trying, and I keep trying to just, that serenity, to just live a calm, wholesome life. Very difficult. I don't know about for you guys, but for an alcoholic like me who wanted to be an extreme all the time. So the only way I can do that is practice every day and put some kind of consistency in my life. And you know what? Being in this program, being sober this long is the most consistent thing I've ever done in my entire life. It's the most dedicated, committed thing I've ever done in my entire life. And realizing I have a problem there with commitment. But with this, because I want it so bad, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be back. And I mean, even in recovery, like I said, I felt it, you know, without having these tools, without having you in my life. I don't want to be there. And I still, you know, I still want it. That's what keeps me sober one day at a time. Every day I get up saying, I want it, and this is my focus. And if it's not my focus and priority, Vicky gets in trouble, you know. I heard a preacher today. I went to church, actually, and I heard this preacher, and he said something that, you know, over and over, that just I wanted to share here, which was, don't give up, your change is just around the corner. That's what he said today. And it just hit me. It's like, no matter what, don't give up. Your change is just around the corner. And you know what? It'll blow your mind. Because it's definitely blown mine. There's so many circumstances, situations in my life that I've had the grace to be able to deal with that there's no way I would have been able to deal with in any sane fashion or even made it through. God knows. I'm a very, very grateful, lucky, recovering alcoholic.